LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously, I'm 24.
What happened, Sherry?
I went to the house to speak to Julia. Alan interrupted us. There was an argument and he had a heart attack.
You sit there and you watched a man die.
Complex problems sometimes have the simplest solutions, Wayne.
Sherry, we can't cover this thing up.
We can and we will.
The deal was we get paid in full.
The deal changed when you went down to Mexico. After you've hit the hotel, you get the rest of your money.
Where's the virus, you son of a bitch?
You're too late, Jack.
We've got Amador.
What about the virus?
I mean, I think we got a high probability target.
What is it?
The Chandler Plaza Hotel on Wilshire Boulevard.
How can I help you?
There's been a threat made against your hotel. As of this moment, it's very important you not allow anybody in or out of the structure.
What's the nature of the threat?
The release of an infectious substance inside the hotel.
If this virus gets out, you die, just like everyone else.
Gael, the virus is in the central ventilation unit.
As Gael carefully reaches towards the device, it suddenly explodes, releasing clouds of powdered virus into his face and up into the rest of the building.
The following takes place between 4 a.m. and 5 a.m.
Mr. Phillips, this is Agent Ortega. A toxic substance has been released into the forced air unit.
My God.
You need to shut down the unit. Where's the air conditioning control panel?
On your left, there's a row of fuses running down the right side of the panel, one for each floor. Look, this toxic release, how bad is it? Agent Ortega.
Just taking precautions, Mr. Phillips.
How much of the virus was released?
Enough to kill everyone in the building.
Did you plant files anywhere else?
Don't you get it? We're all going to die.
Did you plant any other vials?
My assignment was the hotel.
So there are others?
Yes.
How many?
11. But I don't know where they are.
Keep an eye on him. Dessler.
Michelle, what's the status?
Albers planted a vial containing the Cordella virus in the ventilation system. It was on a timing device, and it went off as Gael was trying to disarm it.
He was in direct contact?
Yeah. He's shutting down the system now, but we have to assume it's permeated the entire building.
Michelle, within 14 hours, anybody exposed to the virus will become symptomatic. They'll infect whoever they come in contact with.
Yeah, I know. No one can be allowed to leave the building. We have to impose a total quarantine.
We'll scramble our code 6 perimeter.
We have to be careful about this, Tony. As people realize what's going on, there'll be widespread panic.
Right, our people will hold a 100-yard radius, stay out of sight, and LAPD and health services will move in adjacent to the hotel.
Good. The vial that Alvers planted, he said there are 11 more.
Alvers told you this?
I just left him.
You just left him, Michelle? He could have been exposed to the virus. How'd he get outside the hotel? Michelle?
He didn't leave the hotel. He's still in the basement.
Are you inside?
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing in there?
I wasn't trying to be a hero, Tony. It's the only decision I could make.
All right, how far away are you from the ventilation room?
I'm not sure.
Okay, look, health services is bringing protective gear. I want you to put it on as soon as they get there.
Now, if we can get you outside the hotel, we can isolate you until you
Tony,
get tested.
Tony, I can't leave.
Are you listening to me? I'm ordering you to get out.
Well, that's an order I can't obey. As it is, there are only 7 other agents, including Gael, and a hotel full of people that need to be contained and controlled. Communications, testing procedures, it all has to be coordinated, and I am the ranking officer.
Michelle, look.
If I've been exposed, there's nothing anyone can do. Alvers said there were 11 more vials. He said he doesn't know where they are. I believe him. Tony.
Yeah.
I have to go. Call me when you have a working protocol.
British Sky Broadcasting presents 24, starring Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer, Alicia Cuthbert as Kim Bauer, Carlos Bernard as Tony Almeida, James Badge Dale as Chase Edmonds, and Dennis Haysbert as President Palmer. Created by Joel Surnow and Robert Cochran, voiced by Tim Bruce on behalf of MCS Agency. 405. Jack interrogates Amador at the club. His injured hand has been bandaged by a medic.
You and I both know I don't have a lot of time here. I need to know who you're working for, who's behind this. You said he knows me, just give me a name.
Do what you want to me. I'm telling you nothing.
We found the incubator with the virus in the room next door. If you don't tell me what I need to know, I'll put you in there, and I'll open it up.
Then I'll die. But I won't talk.
Bauer.
Jack, this is Chappelle. The virus has been released into the ventilation system of the Chandler Plaza Hotel.
Alver says there are 11 other vials, but won't or can't tell us where they are. Amador's our only other link, Jack.
He says whoever's behind this knows me, but he's too afraid to give me a name.
Is it someone you worked with or against?
That's what we're trying to figure out.
Bring Amador back to CTU.
Ryan, we don't have time for that. We don't know when the 11 other vials are going to be released.
We'll put him in a room with Richards.
You put Nina in a room with Richards? You got no information and 3 dead agents. Ryan, please, you're going to have to let me handle this. You're going to have to trust me.
All right.
Jack, we got some readings off the incubator.
That was Ryan. The virus has been released at the Chandler Plaza Hotel. There's 11 other vials. We don't know where they are, and we don't know when they're going to be released.
Well, he probably does.
He says he'd rather be dead than talk, and I believe him. It's not going to matter, though. As soon as we have his boss in custody, we turn him over as a witness.
You're always thinking, aren't you, Jack?
Shut up. Take the wall.
Jack pins Amador against the wall and handcuffs his injured hand. Amador kneels and is handcuffed to an old radiator.
We'll be right back.
Jack and Chase leave through a beaded curtain as Amador tugs at the rusty pipes that chain him by his injured hand. His face becomes determined, set on escape.
Powder was ground into particles small enough to suspend it in the air. It's like an aerosol.
Most of the windows at the Chandler Plaza Hotel don't open, which means the contaminated air would just circulate within the hotel. We could contain it.
Tony, it's Nicole Duncan.
You on your way to the hotel?
Yeah, we're loading up now. We'll be there as fast as we can. What's the status of your people?
They're setting up a covert perimeter.
Okay, we're bringing a mobile lab to test the people inside the hotel, but that can only be accomplished if the situation is stable.
Yeah, Michelle's got that covered.
She's inside the hotel, unprotected?
Yeah. Look, I'll get back to you. Here's the protocol. Total containment inside the hotel. No one's allowed to leave or communicate with the outside. Now, health services will establish an adjacent perimeter. LAPD will move in as soon as the area is deemed safe.
All right. Have they been given degree of force parameters in case someone tries to leave the hotel?
No, that's your call.
One person gets out, it could start a ripple effect of disease transmission throughout the city. Orders are shoot to kill anyone who attempts to leave. No exceptions.
Michelle. So all the exits have been secured.
Good. We need to shut down the elevators and the phone system.
It's that serious?
Potentially, yes. For now, no one can leave the building. Our first priority is to prevent a panic.
Shutting down hotel operations, that'll create one, and people still have their cell phones.
We're directing a jamming signal at the hotel.
How do you stay in contact with CTU if the cell phones are jammed?
Our phones operate on pinhole frequency. We won't be affected.
Is anyone going to survive this?
That's what we're here to ensure.
Look, we're going to rely on your leadership, Mr. Phillips. You and your employees will be our first line of defense. Okay?
We also need to shut down the fire alarm.
It's hardwired to the main grid. It has to be shut down one node at a time. I'll take care of it.
Thank you.
Probably got an hour or so before people start waking up. Where's Alvers?
He's downstairs with Peterson. He gave up nothing except that there are more vials. Somewhere.
Gael flops down exhausted into a chair. Michelle crouches next to him.
Gael, I know you wouldn't have been exposed to the virus if it wasn't for me.
You didn't have us do anything we wouldn't have done on our own.
Michelle turns guiltily away and leaves. 4:10. At the end of a long shift, a hotel security worker begins to pace his way home. Phillips stops him in the corridor.
Margolis? Hey, I'm going to need you to stay for a while.
I can't put in OT. My wife's a week overdue.
Listen, the ventilation system may have released an irritant into the air, and I need all available personnel to deal with the guest in case there's a reaction.
I'm not a doctor. What can I do?
Like the health department people, they are on their way, and I promise I will get you out of here as soon as I can.
Margolis sourly concedes. Back at the club, Amador twists at a tightened nut that secures the metal pipe to a radiator. He struggles against the rust, but eventually works it loose and easily unscrews the nut with his good hand. Wrenching away the pipe, he frees the handcuffs and cautiously slips out of the room. Meanwhile, back at CTU, Kim monitors a remote signal and immediately contacts her father.
Miss Bauer.
Dad, it's me. Amador's left the building.
Which way is he headed?
Hang on, I'm triangulating him now.
We're on. Hurry, Kim.
I got him. He's heading south on Western at 16th.
Okay, we're on our way.
Jack and Chase climb the seedy stairway back to the main street. 4:12. End of part one. Part two. 4:16.
How many people in the hotel?
About 1,000.
All right. Call the governor. If this thing spreads and there's a citywide panic, he needs to be ready to mobilize the state troopers and the National Guard.
Yes, Mr. President.
But I want him to hold off the order until he hears from us.
Okay.
Sherry barges through the door.
Oh, sorry.
Hi.
You look tired. David, I'm bringing you a problem, but I'm also bringing you a solution.
Let's hear the problem.
Julia Milliken. She was interviewed by the police about Alan's death, and she's claiming I had something to do with it.
Did you?
Does that really matter?
Only you could say that, Sherry.
You know, you always claim to want the truth, but your whole life you've been surrounded by people like me and Wayne who've protected you from it.
I never asked to be protected.
Well, that may be true, but the fact remains you have been. Well, tonight, I'm going to take you at your word. I'm actually going to tell you the truth.
Thank you.
I was with Julia Milliken when Alan had his heart attack. She was going to give him his medicine, and I stopped her. We both watched him die.
That's murder.
And Julia couldn't keep her mouth shut. She told the police everything. They just called me a little while ago, and I told them that I was with you at the time of Alan's death. So I expect they'll be contacting you to verify my story.
And you expect me to do that?
Oh, David, it would be a serious mistake not to. Because if you don't, I will tell them that I was acting on your behalf.
No one's going to believe that I asked you to kill Alan Milliken.
No. But maybe they'll believe that you were having a problem with him, that you told me to take all necessary measures to solve it. Now, that's a nice soundbite for the media, don't you think? Take all necessary measures?
I never used those words.
Well, think it over, David.
The ex-couple regard each other with desperation and hostility. As Palm advances towards her, Sherry backs away towards the door like a wounded animal cowering before an angry hunter. She slips behind the door and is gone. Palmer slams the door in frustration, rests his troubled head against the wall, and wrestles with yet another agonizing decision. 4:19. An Amador races through the deserted streets of downtown Los Angeles, pursued at a discreet distance by Jack and Chase. He reaches into the glove compartment of his car and pulls out a leather pouch. Carefully unzipping it as he drives, he pulls out a skeleton key and deftly uses it to unlock the handcuffs that dangle from his bandaged left hand. Jack and Chase track Amador on a monitor and stalk him in Jack's four-track.
Okay, Tony, I've got you on speaker. We're on Hoover headed south, running parallel to Amador's position on Vermont.
Yeah, we've got you both.
Where'd you put the transponder?
In a bandage on his hand.
You know, this could all backfire, Jack.
We didn't have a choice. We had to let him believe that he'd escaped.
I'm just saying that while you're tied up following him, he may just be heading out of town.
No, whoever Amador is working for has got connections all around the world. He's going to need his help to get out of here.
You want some backup?
No, there's not very many cars on the road. If we get any closer, he'll make us. Look, did Michelle compile the list of all the contacts I've had over the last 5 years?
I had to put Chloe on it. Michelle's inside the Chandler Plaza Hotel.
Jack and Chase exchange glances.
I'm sorry, Tony. Look, we think the virus has been altered.
Altered how?
Combined with another chemical, it's on its way over to NHS to get tested now.
So you're saying she might have a chance?
Maybe. I hope so. Look, Tony, we'll get back to you as soon as we got anything, okay?
Amador contacts Saunders by cell phone.
Yes.
It's Amador.
I was detained by some CTU agents. They put me through hell trying to force me to give you up.
Did you?
Of course not. I need a way out of the country.
Of course.
Was Jack Bauer one of the agents?
Yes.
I need you to be certain you're not being followed before we meet. You know what to do.
Understood.
Go. Call me when you're shot.
As Amador doubles back to check he's not being pursued, Saunders places the remaining vials of virus into four separate briefcases and hands one to a grim-looking accomplice along with a cell phone.
You have the location?
When do you want it released?
This will ring twice. Once you set the timer, make sure it's destroyed.
Saunders snaps the briefcase shut. Meanwhile, a hazmat convoy headed by Nicole Duncan plods its doleful way through a quiet road tunnel in the early hours of the morning.
How long before you can move in?
About half an hour.
All right, look, we found out that the virus was altered, combined with another compound.
Yeah, well, until that compound's analyzed, we have no idea what we're dealing with.
So what's the mortality rate among those exposed to the virus?
In its unaltered form, approximately 90%.
Look, if somebody was exposed for just a short time, would leaving the hotel make a difference? I mean, look, I know I'm not making sense here, but...
Once you're exposed. The length of exposure has no real bearing on survivability.
All right, look, you said 10% would survive. Now, if the virus was altered, is there a chance the percentage would go up?
It's possible, Tony.
We'll do everything we can for her.
Yeah, thanks.
Powerless, Tony hangs his heavy head. Meanwhile, at the hotel, Michelle focuses her team.
The whole floor.
30 parts per million. You want me to take a reading on the south corridor?
You check the surface areas?
No, I have the corridor.
Again, 30 parts per million.
Stairwell.
Which floor?
All levels.
35 parts per million.
Elevator shaft.
I'm getting inconsistent readings on that.
Okay, we'll recheck it and get back to me.
Copy that.
Okay.
Floors 1 through 5 show 30 parts per million or greater.
Yeah, same as the rest of the hotel. Even the lobby's contaminated.
Okay. I'll call CTU. You call NHS.
Blood pours unnoticed from Gael's nose.
I'll call you back. Gael.
Gael! Monsieur Fredda!
Blood gushes through his fingers. 4:24. End of part two. Part three. 4:29. As Gael continues to hemorrhage, Michelle storms over to Alvarez, still held captive in the basement.
One of my agents just started showing symptoms. What the hell's going on?
Does it really matter?
The incubation period is supposed to be 14 hours. You're the chemist. What did you do?
Michelle strikes him in the face.
Tell me!
Under what condition?
You're in no position to be making demands.
I'm the only one who knows what I did. And that dies with me unless you do what I want.
What do you want?
I know what the virus does. I don't want to die like that. I'll tell you what you want to know. If you swear you'll kill me once the symptoms start.
After a moment's careful deliberation, Michelle nods her head in agreement. Alvarez echoes. Meanwhile, Wayne visits Palmer in his office.
Come. What's the latest on the hotel?
It's still unclear how much of that virus was released or how many people were exposed. Now, I think you might want to make a preemptive announcement as to how to deal with the outbreak.
No, I'm not making any announcements until more facts are known.
Listen, David, I just heard from LAPD. They consider Sherry to be a flight risk. Now, David, they have a warrant for her arrest if you don't back her alibi that she was with you when Milliken died.
You mean lie?
There is nothing to think about here.
Perjury and obstruction of justice are nothing to think about?
David, you have the most powerful legal apparatus in the world at your disposal. Now, you let me call the AG's office, and this so-called problem disappears.
Oh, no. It just widens the conspiracy, and it'll never hold.
Are you going to let everything that you've accomplished, and I do mean everything, be destroyed? Because of what? Because of Sherry's indiscretion?
Listen to yourself, Wayne. You're calling murder an indiscretion?
Oh, for God's sakes, grow up!
Who the hell do you think you're talking to?
To an ex-president, David. Unless you do the only thing that makes sense here. Now, Sherry said if she goes down, she's going to take you down with her.
Then do your job and make sure that doesn't happen.
Then stop tying my hands.
I want to see the chief of police.
Damn it, David. We can stonewall him. We can survive this.
Get him out of bed and bring him directly to me.
4:31. Wayne beats his retreat from Palmer's office, uncertain of the outcome or their tenuous future. Meanwhile, CTU tackles the outbreak.
So where are we?
Caltrans just redirected all the traffic within a 2-block radius of the hotel.
Chloe, how long before we have enough agents around the hotel to keep everybody in?
We're at least a half hour away.
Damn it.
Tony, I got Michelle on line 3.
All right, I'll take it over here. Hey.
The situation's worse than we thought.
What are you talking about?
Gael started hemorrhaging from the nose and mouth less than an hour after exposure.
So the incubation period is no longer 14 hours.
According to Alvarez, the compound he added to the virus acts as an accelerant.
Is Gael the only one showing symptoms?
As far as I know.
Where is he?
I isolated him in a room in the basement.
Were you exposed to any of his blood?
No.
But we tested the air throughout the hotel.
The virus is everywhere, and I've been breathing it.
All right, look, reinforcements are on their way. Everyone knows we need a hard perimeter as soon as possible.
I'll get back to you.
Michelle.
We can't do this now. We have to focus on making sure no one gets out of here.
Yeah. Okay.
4:33. Margolis confronts Phillips in his office.
Mr. Phillips, you gotta tell me what's going on.
What are you talking about, Bruce?
Don't say you don't know. There are people outside this hotel with guns, and every door I've tried is locked.
They're federal agents, and they're dealing with a problem.
What kind of problem? Are we in trouble? Please,
The only thing I can tell you is all that they've told me. I don't know anymore.
And you're sticking around?
Look, we don't have a choice. They have the authority to keep us here.
So what are we supposed to do?
All we can do until they tell us more is to stay calm and hope for the best. Okay?
Yep.
Margolis gives Phillips a perfunctory nod, then proceeds to scour the basement trying to find any means of escape. The first exit door is firmly locked and bolted. Margolis runs to the next. The second is secured with a padlock. Frightened and undeterred, Margolis tries another. 4:34. Meanwhile, hidden away in a basement storeroom, Gael coughs up blood into a stained rag. He wipes his face clean, then in disgust examines the rag's bloody contents.
Yeah.
It's Michelle. How are you feeling?
Okay, all right.
Bleeding stops and starts. I just feel very, very weak.
As soon as NHS gets here, they're gonna send a doctor in to see you.
To track the progress of the virus.
And to make you more comfortable.
You gotta get him here soon. Gonna have a hard time keeping people in the hotel once they wake up.
Hidden around a corner, Margolis overhears Gael's conversation and panics. He freezes for a moment, then darts out into the stairwell and sets off a nearby fire alarm.
What's up, Michelle?
I'll call you back.
Margolis heads for Phillips' office and rifles through junk-filled drawers for keys. He soon finds them, and as he checks through the bunch, one key at a time, he sees a small pistol, half hidden beneath a clipboard. He carefully looks around, then holds it purposefully in his hand. Michelle and Phillips in the hotel foyer.
So too.
Well, can you shut it off?
Yeah, I'm on my way. I have to find the override.
Get on the intercom. Tell people it was a false alarm and to stay in their rooms. The two of you, I need you to go to the stairwell and turn people back around. Everyone else, man the doors. Nobody gets out.
4:41. As Michelle rushes to contain the crowd spilling into the foyer, Amador takes another sharp turn to shake off any would-be pursuers.
Look, I've doubled back on my route a few times now. There's no one on my tail.
You're certain?
Yeah, the streets are empty. Just bring me in.
How far are you from the location?
I'll be there soon.
Park a few blocks away and walk. Look for a silver Ford. Dolan will be waiting with your travel documents.
Look, I'll need some cash to help me get out of the country.
He'll have that for you as well.
Good.
Kim monitors his movements from CTU.
Amador's making a U-turn. He's heading downtown.
Okay, we've got him. Bring in the follow teams. Tell him to stay at a safe distance. Amador's not going to lead us to who he's working for unless he feels absolutely safe.
Coordinating the follow teams now.
Copy.
4:42. Margolis heads towards a basement exit, only to have his way blocked by a CTU agent.
Madison, what's your status?
The lower level is altitude.
Okay, hold your position.
Copy that. It was a false alarm. You all go back to your rooms. Everything will be okay.
I deactivated the alarm, though, but the system still has to cycle down.
Well, how long is it going to take?
I don't know.
I just want to know what the hell is going on.
Right. What's going on?
Everything is fine. You just need to relax.
Well, everything doesn't seem fine, okay?
It was a false alarm. It's no problem.
Well, then why is this guy telling me I can't go outside?
No, please, sir, I just need you to go upstairs.
No, not until someone tells me what is going on.
Yeah, that's right.
What are these people doing outside? I saw them from my room. They're wearing gas masks.
You can't keep us in here. I want an explanation.
Please, please, if I can have your attention, I will explain the situation. I am a federal agent.
I'm here because about half an hour ago, a toxic substance was released outside around this building.
Why didn't you tell us that before?
Because we didn't want people to panic, rush outside, and expose themselves to this dangerous substance. Now, you are safe as long as you stay inside this hotel. But until we get a cleanup crew out there, it is not safe to go outside.
Well, how long are we going to be here?
Why don't the phones work?
Please, we will work this all out. I promise you. If you go back to your rooms, everything will be okay.
Excuse me. Agent Dessler. Someone got a fire door open.
Where?
Signal came from the west side of the hotel. All those emergency exits feed the same corridor.
All right, I need you to stay here and help my people out. How do I get there?
Right, down this corridor to the right and downstairs.
All right, people, let's head back up to your rooms. You heard the lady, there is no problem.
Yeah, like please. Hell there isn't.
Please, everyone, it's going to be just fine. Please, ma'am, back to your room. Please, everyone, it's going to be just fine.
Margolis fumbles for the right key.
Stop right there.
I'm getting out of here.
He pulls the gun on her.
I'm a federal agent. Now drop the gun.
No, I just want to go.
It's not safe to leave. Drop the gun.
Why isn't it safe?
A toxic substance was released outside around this hotel.
You're lying.
No, I'm not lying.
No, I know about the man in the storeroom. I know that something bad is in this hotel.
You're right. It is. That's why you can't go outside.
What are you talking about?
Everyone in this hotel is going to get very sick.
Sick? How sick?
Most of us are going to die.
That's not possible.
It's the truth.
I just want to get home to my wife. My wife.
If you do, you'll give this to her. Anyone who leaves this hotel will spread this disease. Tens of thousands of people could die. You don't want to be responsible for that, do you?
Oh, God. Oh, God.
She moves in close and takes the keys from the door. He surrenders it, lost in dread of what may come.
Now that you know we have to isolate you. Sit down. Dessler.
We need you back in here. There is a problem.
What's going on?
Someone just started bleeding from the nose and the mouth. Blood keeps coming in. We cannot stop it.
4:46. End of 4. 4:50. And Wayne leads a distinguished-looking senior police officer into Palmer's office.
Mr. President? Chief Hendricks.
Chief Hendricks.
Mr. President.
Please, have a seat.
Thank you, sir.
I realize this is an irregular hour for a meeting.
The circumstances are irregular, Mr. President.
Yes, they are. I assume you've been briefed on the Milliken case?
I know Julia Milliken stated that Mrs. Palmer contributed to the death of Alan Milliken by withholding his medication. Mrs. Palmer indicated to our detectives that she was not at the Milliken residence this evening, that she was here with you. Mr. President, my question is, was she?
Yes, she was.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Chief Hendricks. Have a good night.
Thank you, sir. Is there any reason you can think of that would have prompted Mrs. Milliken to accuse Mrs. Palmer?
People do inexplicable things in a moment of crisis, Chief.
Yeah. Good night.
As Chief Hendricks leaves, Wayne and Palmer exchange long, pained glances. Wayne follows soon after. Palmer's blood begins to boil. He snaps his file shut on his desk and storms out of the room and into an adjoining office, occupied by Sherry.
The police chief was just here. And I told him that you were here with me tonight.
And no one will ever know anything different.
I will. What you've done is unforgivable.
David, you called me precisely because you needed someone to do your dirty work. So don't turn around and just try to wash your hands of this.
Don't you dare insinuate that I knew what you were about to do. You took a life.
It's not that clear cut, David.
Yes, it is. Alan Milliken is dead because of you.
You needed help with Milliken, and I gave it to you. Neither one of us had any idea that it would work out like this. So let's not forget, it did work out in your favor. You should be thanking me.
I despise you for what you've done. And I despise my role in helping you get away with it. Get out of my sight.
Palmer slams the door behind him in a rage, while Sherry stands speechless and cold. 4:54, Amador reaches the rendezvous with Dernan and hurriedly approaches the silver Ford parked by the side of the road. From his four-track, Jack watches every move through a nightscope.
Okay, I've got him. Are the follow cars in place?
Affirmative, sir. We have pursuit vehicles in position.
Amador rushes up to the roadside, checks left and right, then jumps into the waiting car. Dernan gives him a look of disdain. He reaches into the back and hands over a plain briefcase.
Here's your money and travel papers.
By opening the briefcase, Amador sets off a bomb and the car explodes into smithereens.
Move!
Jack and Chase rush to the scene, their weapons before them. They quickly scan the immediate area, but find nothing. Little remains of the car, but fire and twisted metal.
Damn it! You get on the radio. You tell the follow teams to cordon off this entire area. I don't want anybody coming down here except the bomb squad and forensics.
Follow teams cordon off 2 blocks perimeter ground 6 and no bomb squad.
It's Bauer.
Hello, Jack. Oh, I knew you were better than Amador, but you're not better than me.
Amador said you knew me. Who is this?
First things first, Jack.
There are 11 other vials, each containing the same amount of virus that was released at the hotel. I'll use them the moment my instructions aren't followed.
What do you want, money?
I need you to put me in touch with a friend of yours.
In the hotel foyer, more hemorrhage from nose and mouth.
Oh, my God.
Michelle rushes to help an old man with symptoms.
Sir, I need Phillips.
We're here, we need help.
He'll be okay.
They're lying to us. There's something wrong inside the building. It's inside the building!
Sir, calm down! Everyone, out of my way!
A man smashes a window. Michelle fires into the air.
Hold it right there. Step away from the window. I said step away from the window. If you try to leave, I will shoot you.
The man takes a calculated risk and chooses to defy her.
No, you won't.
He runs for the open window. Michelle shoots him dead, and his body crumples onto the shards of glass that litter the lobby floor. As the lobby crowds gasp in horror, Michelle walks over and looks down in regret at his stricken body. A fresh morning breeze blowing through the soft curls of her hair. Meanwhile, blisters and ulcers mark Gael's arms as blood continues to trickle unstoppably from his nose and mouth. Tony frets over Michelle's uncertain fate, and Palmer deliberates over the day's ever-worsening events. 4:58.
Mr. President, I have Jack Bauer for you.
Thank you. Jack?
Mr. President, the man in possession of the Cordilla virus has demanded to speak with you. We don't have a name on him yet, sir, but I do believe that if you don't speak with him, he'll release more of the virus. Unfortunately, Mr. President, right now at this time, I think you're going to have to give in to his demands.
I'll speak to him.
Yes, sir, I'll connect you. You are now on with the President.
I'll make this brief. As you are no doubt aware, I am in possession of enough of the virus to decimate a good portion of the population of this country. And as I've shown at the Chandler Plaza Hotel, I will do so. Unless you follow the instructions you'll be receiving over the next few hours. Do you understand, Mr. President?
I'm listening.
You are no longer in control of your country. And if you do not use the full power of your office to execute my wishes, the virus will be released. And it will be impossible to stop. You'll be hearing from me.
Five AM. The end.